If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Manchester United Football Social with Full-Time Devils.
All right, then, should we do this thing?
My name's Guys Drinkwater. This is the XS Manchester Football Social Full-Time Devils Takeover. I'm trying to sound up for it. I'm trying to sound excited, but let's face it. Recently, it's all been a little bit... Ollie's at the wheel. Some would say the wheels are falling off. No, I wouldn't say that. That's over-exaggerating. Right, joining me in the studio tonight, you've already heard him. It's the man, the myth. The cultural behemoth. It's Andy Tate. Andy, how you doing, mate?
I'm all right, guys. How are you, lad?
Yeah, very good, mate. Good to have you here. Also joining me, Abdul. Abdul, how you doing, pal? Oh, hey, oh, hang on. Oh. Speak to me now. There, are you there?
There he is. It's on now. Yeah, I'm doing great, mate. Thank you.
You probably know Abdul from the Full-Time Devils channel. We are, I mean, I don't think we're live there just yet on YouTube, but we are on XS Manchester. If you do want to call in today, please do. It's a football phone-in, after all. If you didn't phone in, it would be pretty useless. So 0345 117625, that is the number. You can also text in 87711. Get your comments in on YouTube as well, and we will try to read them out as fast as we can. So, yeah, keep your calls coming in tonight. And unfortunately, lads, there's only really one place that we can start today, and that is, of course, reaction to the defeat at Wolverhampton. Where do we start? I mean, a lot of people have said there were missed chances, and that makes me think, maybe we were unlucky. Lukaku bags his chance. Lingard bags his chance. It's a different game. You think there's more to it than that, Andy?
Well, the performance first 20-25 minutes was really good and fantastic. It was like Ollie learned from the previous Wolves game. But after the silly mistake from Fred, De Gea giving it into him, it's basic errors that have cost us the match in 3 points. Silly defending. Like I say, I'm not going to go into the defending, but they know who they are. And
don't worry, we'll get into them.
We'll get into them.
Yeah, we've got plenty to talk about, especially certain members of that defence and certain members of the United squad, which really have been deadwood for quite a while. Nick's walked in the studio, and Nick, we're playing out of your headphones, so it's very confusing, mate, because there's a massive echo. But Abdul, let's go to you, mate. What was your reaction to the game against Wolves? Do you think it was a massively disappointing performance, or do you think that maybe we just had a bit of bad luck that day?
A bit of both. I think when you look at games like that have gone Liverpool's way, you know, and they're not particularly completely at their best. They get a bit like Watford, to be fair. We got dominated in midfield on that game, but they've had about 10-15 of them minimum. I'm not even exaggerating with Liverpool this season. You watch them and they're just getting that 1-0, 2-1, you know, that penalty, that, you know, offside goal, that this, that. And I come off dead bitter on that, but that's true. Like, we didn't have that bit of luck that we needed because the red card, unfortunately, Ashley Young, it's a stupid decision there from him, and it was coming. I was telling everyone at half time that I was watching it with me, I feel a red card's coming here. The other thing was, obviously, Fred, it was a little unfortunate because I thought not a lot of people would agree with me, because I thought he actually controlled the game pretty well at times. I thought he did well.
You know what? Fred played well against Arsenal as well. When we lost that one.
It's good that you think that, because a lot of people just seem to... They want everyone to just get the ball and rip a whole team apart and then bang it back in the net like they're George Best. And he had a better game than Pogba. He had a better game than Paul Pogba, and everyone was digging Fred out. Pogba was, again... the thing is with Pogba in that game, I think he was shifted out to the left, similar to the system we played against Paris. And that's credit to Ollie, because He's obviously switched the system compared to the last Wolves game. He's seen the errors, has switched it. Dalot played some great balls in a box. We missed him. Obviously, Ron played a brilliant ball into Jesse. He misses that chance. So we put our chances away. It's a completely different game. So it's just the quality overall as well, because even when things go against you, you expect your defence to be on top to keep things tight. Even when it goes down to 10 men, that's what the best teams do. And unfortunately, because of the likes of Smalling and Johns in that team, you can't really do that. And yeah, that just shows the difference in quality compared to us and the rest of the top four, really.
We do have a caller on the line right now, then. It's an anonymous caller, funnily enough. Mate, welcome to the XS Manchester Football Social. Who's there?
Hi, my name's Matthew.
Hi, Matthew, mate. Right. So, on the back of that Wolves result, mate, obviously very disappointing, and I don't want to scapegoat one player in particular, but he is an experienced player. He should know a little bit better. Ashley Young, what did you make of that red card, mate?
I mean, the two yellow cards came for pretty much the same foul on the same player and the same area of the pitch. And I think it just highlights that, you know, we're playing a 32-year-old ex-winger at fullback. That's just not good enough for a club of the stature that we are. So I just don't think he's been good enough all season, to be honest.
No, a player like Ashley Young, obviously, he's got that contract now. He's got another year after this season finishes, right?
Yeah.
Yes. And so do you think that we will be keeping him then, Matthew?
I mean, he's the most experienced player we've got in terms of how long he's been at the club. You know, Valencia looks like he's on his way out. Herrera looks like he could be on his way out. So I think Ollie probably would look to keep him on just to have that sort of leadership in the dressing room.
That's all he's got.
On-pitch performances, it's just not good enough. So I hope that, you know, I could kind of understand keeping him around for his, you know, personality. But in terms of on the pitch, I hope that we do look to sign someone who's ready to play.
What do you guys make about that then, what Matthew said there about Ashley Young? Andy, would you keep him for the experience, or like you say, is that all he's got? What's the point?
He's splitting me now. He's really splitting me with his performances. We lost to City, was it November? And next, on the following Monday, Manchester United announced, charge us up, we'll give Ashley Young a new contract. Jeez Louise, man, come on. We need quality, and you're not going to challenge for anything with Ashley Young. I'm sorry. I'm being honest.
What's annoying is the last few years, I feel like, amongst United fans, you two probably heard it yourselves and Matthew on the phone, one word that keeps coming up is Deadwood. We've got too much Deadwood in this team. And it feels like we've had too much Deadwood in this team.
Deadwood FC.
Too long.
For ages.
Really too long.
Matthew, is there anyone else in this Manchester United squad right now that straight away jumps to mind when I say the word Deadwood?
Oh, you think of, you know, Young, Jones, Smalling, Rojo.
They're
eating up wages, they're eating up, you know, squad places. And you think about the fact that you're letting Herrera run down his contract, and I think we've also, is it Smalling signing a new contract extension already? Young, Jones has signed one this year.
There's rumours about another one, which I don't know whether you'll be happy about this. There's rumours about Darmian signing a contract extension, which is weird because he's played like 2-3 games all season, hasn't he?
And I think it's ridiculous when you think that, you know, that money could be being spent on better players. Like, how are we going to progress if we're insistent on keeping these mediocre players at the club? They wouldn't get into any of the top 14. I think they'd struggle to get into any of the other top six, including Wolves.
Do you see Ashley Young lifting a Premier League title as a skipper? Because I don't.
Oh, absolutely not. No, I don't think. I think that that's where you start. I think you build from the back. You buy... Two new centre-backs, a new full-back. If Luke Shaw goes out, we're playing converted right-backs there. You know, Young or Darmian will play. You need to invest in the defence.
This is down to the board as well, because they didn't invest. The circus, let's run up till Christmas. He's gone now, but this is all down up to the board now. We finished second last season.
That was generous, wasn't it?
That was generous, and City won it at Cantor, and fair play to him. But you didn't invest, you didn't push on, and now we're going backwards again. Mm-hmm. And now we've got to push on again. And we could be like another two years from a challenge. And I'm just being honest, unless the penny has dropped with Mr. Woodward and the board. I think it has, because director of football coming in, the ship needs steadying, and maybe it is, like, just move upstairs, mate. You're not needed on pitch level. You really ain't. You know nothing about Mancunia, telling you.
Matthew, thank you very much for your call, mate. We really do appreciate it. We've got Damien on the phone right now. Damien, what other players come to mind when I say the word Deadwood to you?
Hello, can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you, pal.
Hi, mate.
Hi, mate. You know what? I don't want to trot out the usual suspect list of names under this Deadwood thing. You know, it's been done to death by everybody on every channel. We know that the players that we think or that we'd want to get upgrades for in the side. Mm. The reason why I phoned in is because when I watched the game against Wolves, the difference I see between Wolves, whether it's Wolves or Yeovil Town, whoever's plays against us, is that when a player sees a pass, he plays the ball. When a player runs, sees a space, he runs into the space. What happens with United is that we'll see the pass and we'll hesitate. Therefore, the runners waste too much time, like Lukaku, and then it goes backwards and sideways and all the rest of it.
Definitely.
And instead of running into a space, we don't run into a space. We are Manchester United. We don't win second balls in the midfield. When we get a throw-in, it takes us a minute to throw it. There's only one person showing for the ball. Now, that is a mentality problem, because when we do play quickly, when we don't hesitate and we go toe-to-toe, we rinse any team. We literally do rinse any team.
We do,
yeah.
But we don't do that. So that is a mentality problem, and that has been going on since before Mourinho. Now, I don't know whether it's just the generation of the players added to the pressure of playing for a club like Manchester United, because it's different to all these other clubs, which is why when clubs are beating us, they start olaying and all the rest of it. When City are beating somebody else 3-0, their fans don't start olaying. When anybody's beating any other team, they don't do that. It's only with us. So it's like, and that's why when we go away from home, our results are as good, if not better, as they are at home. So it's a mentality thing. So how do you solve that?
I think it's a quality thing. Sorry if I can just talk about that. Sorry, guys. I think it's a quality thing as well. We were talking about earlier on the Full Time Devils podcast, and I was talking about having someone like Koulibaly in there of Napoli, who brings the ball out from the back. And, you know, it's something that everyone talks about, a ball playing centre-half. But the more you look at it, when you compare it to Laporte, Van Dijk, the likes of Stones, all those players, you know, they've all got that. And Victor Lindelof has got that in our side, but he needs someone with that, you know, that build as a defender, which Smalling has got, but also he's got a mind of a defender to bring the ball forward and take the pressure off our midfielders. Now, if you analyse the first Wolves game, every time we wanted someone to bring it out from the back, which is Lindelof, they had both their attackers on him. They allowed Smalling to have the ball, the most player on the pitch probably to have the ball on that day. Paul Pogba wasn't getting into the space. Now, Damien was talking about running into spaces. He wasn't doing that, unfortunately. He was doing that a lot at the start of the Oli era. And those little tactical things, you know, the confidence and the quality that we're lacking. I feel like Chris Smalling, because he sort of went from semi-pro football straight onto Fulham and then, you know, straight onto Man United, he's not really had like a sort of a full-on professional upgrading in football to understand the ball playing ability of a centre-half. The quality is very different.
That's what I was going to ask Damien. Now, Damien, do you think it's something to do with maybe a lack of football intelligence from some of our players? Like, they're very good, they're very talented players, but they're not very intelligent players. Do you get what I'm saying?
No, to be fair, I disagree.
Okay.
I mean, Abdul's point, I agree with Abdul's point, because obviously this problem is not just one thing, it's a collection of a few things. I don't think they haven't got intelligence, because when they go to the national teams, they all play great football.
Good point.
So I don't think it's an intelligence thing. And again, when we don't hesitate, when we don't think, when we play without fear or pressure, we stand up to any team.
Yeah,
we really do. I agree. We need quality. We need, you know, it's disgraceful being a Man United fan and watching every team bosses in midfield. It is disgraceful. And watching that
nice
game at Wolves the other night and watching them play football around us, you know, it's disgraceful.
You've got Barcelona coming up. They'll really show us up as well.
What Wolves were singing on Tuesday night as well, "Can we play you every week?" That really embarrassing. United fans off.
It is. It's annoying. But Damien, we really do appreciate your call, mate. Thank you very much for calling into the XS Manchester Football Social. If you want to get in touch today, you can do 0345 117625. You can drop us a text as well, 87711, and get involved in the comments on YouTube as well. We're all over them. Right, on the way, a positive, because I do want to talk about a positive, because we've been very negative at the start of the show, but I do think it's been warranted. Scott McTominay, I think that was he's been a real positive of recent weeks. Yeah. So we'll be talking all about Scott next.
Manchester United football.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Social. Subscribe to the podcast now and never miss a show. Manchester United Football Social with Full-Time Devils.
This is fun. My microphone's pointed slightly downwards and it's stuck this way. So I've got to do the show like Liam Gallagher. Right, it's just gone 20 minutes past six. Andy Tate's not happy with my Liam Gallagher impression. This is the XS Manchester Football Social. If you want to get in touch there, give us a call. Please do. What would this phoning be without people phoning in? 0345 111 7625. Please do get in touch. I've got Abdullah and Andy Tate in the studio with me tonight. Are we good, boys?
I'm good. How are you, mate?
Yeah, I'm good, mate. I'm you know what? We've been too negative so far in today's show. I think that there are reasons to be negative for Manchester United fans at the minute, but we've been a little bit too negative, so I want to talk about a positive. Scott McTominay, I think he's been great recently. I think even in the Wolves game, you know, he got his first Premier League goal, but away from that, I thought he had a really good performance. What did you make of him, mate?
I'm not the biggest, or wasn't the biggest Scott McTominay fan. I thought he lacked that extra bit that he needed in a sort of a top side in midfield. And I'm not saying get him in there starting, you know, week in, week out next week. But for me, what he's shown, especially at Paris away, breaking up the play, you know, really dominating some of those world-class midfielders out there. And then he got took out the side, unfortunately, right after that. And I felt like him and Fred did such a good defensive job at Paris that both of them should have stayed there and then should have lined up alongside them, either Herrera, Pogba and who else. But it's unfortunate, really, that he was taken out the side for that long. But that performance against Wolves, only positive I can really take out of that, because he was dominant in midfield. He switched the role, I think, between him and Pogba at times, and he understood what he was doing on the pitch. Not everyone else on that pitch looked like they knew what they were doing, and he's really sort of come out and he's proven a lot of us wrong, and I'm happy for him. I'm buzzing that he's doing well.
We are lacking in that position as well, that defensive midfield position, aren't we, Andy? I mean, you're probably saying Nemanja Matic is the only proper one that we've got, and his legs
he's been better. Yeah. Scott's been better than Matic.
Yeah, you could say that. So Scott McTominay, you know, going forward into next season, do you keep him around?
Yeah, of course you do.
Him
of course
you do. You want to keep him?
Because he came in just during the start of the season, and he was playing out of position. He was getting crucified. And it wasn't any of his fault, you know what I mean? So he played Tuesday really well for 25 minutes. He could even put us 2-1 up before Ashley Young was sent off.
We've got
a cracking save from the goalkeeper.
We've got Keith on the phone on the XS Manchester Football Social. Keith, what do you make of Scott McTominay at the minute? Do you think he's got a future at Manchester United, or are we all getting carried away a little bit?
Hello, can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you, Keith. What do you make of Scott McTominay, mate?
He's probably our best holding midfield option at the moment. Matic hasn't been on form, really, has he? So I'd probably play McTominay. I might even play McTominay against Barcelona if I was early.
I'll tell you what, it's a shout.
It's not a bad shout.
Yeah, I wanted to talk about Ed Woodward today.
Go on then, Keith.
Go back to go back to the negative part, sadly, but...
It's all right.
It's what we're here for.
We just have to. At the end of the day, Wolves showed how much we lack in quality. We were good for the first 25 minutes, and then after we conceded, we sat off a lot. And then after... first 20 minutes of the second half we were very good, and then the red card by Young, stupid tackle by Young, basically ruined us, and we haven't got enough depth, and we proved that against Wolves. Like, we were playing Young at centre back for most of the game, and it's been happening since David Moyes is in charge. He needs to sort it out. Woodward, he's the reason why Moyes and Mourinho failed. But for me, I think he's the reason why Moyes and Mourinho failed, because he didn't back him right in both the transfer windows, and I can see
as long as he saves his own net, that's all he cares about.
Yeah, and Keith raises a good point there as well. Yeah. Sometimes mentioning the M word almost, Moyes, it sends a tingle up United fans' backs, and there's no way you can come out and defend him in any way. But I think what Keith said then is right, because Moyes has come out recently and said, didn't he, that Woodward essentially promised him Bale, Fabregas, and there was another name.
Cruz.
That was it. Yeah. Cruz. And then obviously they didn't go through, and we all know how it went for David Moyes. So do you think that Woodward has been the sort of the number one problem at United in these last few years, Keith?
Yeah, of course he has. We've not signed quality players. We signed Paul Pogba for commercially, I think, to make more money off shirt sales and stuff like that. Same with Di Maria, same with Falcao, really. I think we haven't signed proper quality players like that would fit into our system at that point.
Does any United fan care about noodle deals in the Far East? I don't think we do.
I don't think we do.
You know what I mean?
It's what happens on the pitch that we care about. Not what happens commercially.
Yeah, and I think it goes very far up, not just at Manchester United, but at the Premier League.
Director of football.
In general.
And we need somebody like a Manchester.
Yeah, and we think that is going to happen soon, apparently. Keith, thank you very much for your call, and thanks for calling into the XS Manchester Cheers, Football mate. Social. 0345 111 7625 is the number if you want to get in touch today. There were some good points what Keith was making there, especially about Moyes and how Woodward has been sort of the running theme of United these last few years.
He loves to be the centre of attention.
Well, yeah. Apart from when he's disappearing to Australia.
Don't get me wrong, he's a fantastic businessman. Like, no one can dispute that, but what do we know about business?
No,
we want to see what's on the pitch.
Well, let's hope he can redeem himself this summer a little bit. And
move upstairs, get the director of football in, and just sign the cheques.
I hate doing this, right, because I hate talking about, like, potential transfers. Sometimes I just get sick of it, because I feel like with Man United, like, every player in the world gets linked to us at some point.
But you'll probably get linked with him, Gaz.
Yeah. I mean, mate, I think I'd do a job at centre-half at the minute. But, so I just wanted to do this, despite what I've just said there. Some rumoured signings that have come from the Telegraph. This is a long list of players, this. And it's one of them where they've just plucked these names out of thin air. But I should see how likely you think they are. Jadon Sancho, Aaron Wan-Bissaka, Rafael Varane, Koulibaly, Declan Rice, and Saul.
Yeah. I think...
Which ones of them can we realistically see happening?
Koulibaly, possibly?
All of them.
All of them?
Bar Varane. I don't think Varane are leaving. Zidane was like... He said something mental because he's been getting linked away from Real Madrid, and Zidane said something like, I don't know, I'd live without Varane or something like that whilst managing Madrid. So I don't think, after giving the keys to Zidane to overrun everything at the club, is what we're hearing, like transfers, everything, all of that, I doubt they're going to, like, Madrid are just going to let Varane walk out, unless he's actually wanting to for a new challenge and they can reach a deal with Koulibaly to come to Madrid, and then that might end up happening. Saul's doable. I think City are in for a brilliant midfielder. Definitely someone that will take the sort of the creativity a bit away from Pogba, that responsibility of being that main creative guy. Because once they shut Paul Pogba down teams, there's no creativity coming from elsewhere. Same as Jadon Sancho. We need a bit more of a spread on that pitch, because everything goes down the left around Paul Pogba's area, Martial's area. Martial's not the best creative player as well. He loves to take his man on, and we really need a bit more of a spread. And I think if you get Saul an extra body in midfield who understands the game really well, he's got great Champions League experience, plays for Spain on the international level. Jadon Sancho, a brilliant, absolutely brilliant winger. You know, he's breaking assist records. I think he beat, Ousmane Dembele was at Barcelona the other day. So he's also a creative lad, and he's English as well. He understands the English game. So Aaron Wan-Bissaka, I've heard some
this
stuff
is the
about
one
him.
I want to hear about.
I love Aaron Wan-Bissaka. Yeah.
I won't believe anything
defender.
Until they're on the pitch with the shirt. Or the
yeah, staff. That's why it is. That's it. We don't know if they're going to have it, but I think we're doable. Like, if you're asking me, can we get them? I'd say we can. It's whether we're willing to go and get them.
They've got to get it done sorted quick, because Ollie said he wants it done before. Like I say, the signings are done before pre-season tour.
Definitely. That's the right approach.
Get them in, get them settled down, get them training.
Exactly.
And we go from there.
Definitely.
We've got Cam on the phone. Cam, you heard some of those names then. Which ones in particular would you like to see the Reds go out and buy this summer?
I'd love to see Varane come, but that's not an option, like your man said. I'd love to see Kabale come. I think they'd have to go all out for him. But what I want to ring you about is, like, cause I think a few previous callers have said it, how come all our deadwood, as you like to call it, deadwood, and they're getting contract extensions, and our top players, we're not giving them, like, De Gea, like, if De Gea, like, went to 500 grand a week, for example, why are you not giving him the best in the world? And he saved us for the last 6 years. And, like I didn't even know that, but you just said that Darmian's getting a contract extension.
Just rumours about Darmian, nothing official minute, but just a few papers coming out and saying that Darmian could be getting a contract extension. But what is that all about? He's played, like, three games, hasn't he?
Just a sell-on fee, maybe?
You know what it is, like, you know the deadwood? I class the deadwood as Smalling, Jones. I know he said we're not going to win nothing with Ashley Young. We're not going to win nothing with Smalling and Jones at centre-back either. But I think we need a top centre-back like Kabale to go with our Swedish player. I keep forgetting his name.
Lindelof,
and that. But, like, we need, like, the board need to come out and say, like, why are all these players good? What have they done to deserve a contract extension? I mean, you've got David De Gea, our best player of the year, four times on the trot or whatever, and they're stalling on it. And, like, look what's happening now with Herrera. And, like, now, if he goes, if it's true, he goes. And he is a workhorse in our midfield. He does allow Pogba to get forward in that. So how much is it going to cost us to replace him?
Exactly. Yeah. And massive rumours as well coming out at the minute that players like Herrera and players like Mata could be leaving the club on a free. And like Cam says, when we're talking about the deadwood, these are players that have just got contracts, Phil Jones and Ashley Young. And where does the blame for that fall again?
The board.
It falls at Ed Woodward.
It's rewarding failure. That's what it is.
You're making the wrong mistake. A lot of it is about sort of getting value in the market for these players, but who's going to go in for Phil Jones? Because you know what, Phil Jones, Chris Marner would like him to stick around, but for example, Phil Jones and Everton can go in for him, and he can do well there. That's a club that can suit him. What for those clubs that are just behind us? But the thing is, are they going to pay his contract? And they're not. They're not going to pay out for the amount that he's getting. So fair enough to Phil Jones. He'll just sit and go, sound, I'll just sit here and chill. I'll take this money in me.
Last couple of years, they've got away with murder, Chris Smalling and Phil Jones. They've got away with it. Absolutely. You know what I mean? Like, I'm being critical. You say, I get criticised in work. I get criticised on the street. It's because of who I am. Yeah. You should be entitled to be critical. You take the good, you take the bad.
Yeah. Go on, Cam.
For any team to win trophies, you have got to have a solid, solid back four. You have to. Look at Orsvio, Vidic, look at Liverpool, they've gone out and bought Van Dijk. We haven't got that. And, like, every night I'm having nightmares about what Barcelona is going to do to our back line.
Can you imagine it?
You lot think of it.
Can you imagine it?
Young on Messi.
Be like a scene from The Walking Dead.
Cam, since we were talking about contracts before, I want to ask you this real quickly. I want to talk about Alexis Sanchez and his contract situation, because it seems to be that the amount that we're paying Alexis Sanchez is directly affecting how much we can spend in other areas of the team. Like, do you just find that whole situation bizarre?
You're asking me that?
Yes, Cam.
Yeah. Well, it is bizarre because obviously they've gone out there, they've given that. Well, if you're David De Gea now, you can say, well, hang on a minute, this guy ain't doing nothing at all.
Exactly.
Give me what he's having. You can't blame him. It's Woodward's fault.
Yeah.
So, anyway, lads, I've got to shoot anyway. Yeah.
All right, cheers, Cam. All right, nice one, Cam. Good to have you on. That's the first time a caller's ever hung up on us, ever kicked us off the phone. Appreciate it, though, Cam. 0345 111 7625 if you do want to get in touch with the show today. Right, I started this bit after we came off the ad saying I wanted to be positive, and we've not been able to be positive because everyone just wants to moan, but it's fair enough. Let's be let's try and put a positive slint on this bit now and talk to me about how we can beat Barcelona, Abdullah. Can we do that?
I think when you look at the game against Villarreal, which we switched over to the other day when I was watching it right after we got beat by Wolves, and I was just watching that and I was thinking, you can get in behind that defence, and with the likes of Marcus Rashford, just look at him, man. Look at him on the pitch, because he moves across that line and he can cause them trouble. They conceded 4 goals against the 15th side in La Liga.
They scored in the 90th minute.
Yeah, and then they pulled back 2 goals, which shows you the you know what they can bring up against you at the top of their game.
They can't lose in a new camp because they lost the they won the away leg against Girona, but they lost in a new camp 1-0.
It's a bit of a weird one, Barcelona.
It is a doable. You can hurt them.
It's just about whether if they stop Paul Pogba, then again, where's the creativity coming from? You got to shuffle things about. I think if we go into that game, I'd personally start Scott McTominay in that game. And I never thought I would have said that even 3 weeks ago when he started against Liverpool. But you know what? He's impressed me. And he's been winning his tackles in midfield. He's been finding the right plays in midfield when the options have been locked off for Paul Pogba. And we just need everyone else to step up
in
that game.
Need to play a part as well.
Definitely. We need a big night at Old Trafford.
The crowd will play their part next Wednesday night, because it's going to be a cracking electric atmosphere. And let's say, if the players perform and the fans see it, they'll sing their hearts out for the United, for the lads. Definitely will.
That's exactly what it is. I think against a team like Barcelona, you just really want to see a lot of intent, don't you, from the boys? I mean, 100%. You just don't want to see them. You don't want to be leaving the stadium disappointed because of something silly like a lack of effort or a little mistake. You just want to see.
That's if you can get a ticket for the game.
Oh yeah, I've heard you've had a bit of a nightmare with that, haven't you?
Two ballots unsuccessfully, not got one. On my membership, then I get an email. A lot of Man United, my members getting emails. Would you like to purchase a Premier ticket for £102? Mate, you know what I mean? I've got bills to pay.
Yeah, well.
I'm a working lad, and I'm not paying that.
You wouldn't mind if it was going towards a new centre-half, would you? But
No.
It's not going to, is it? It's going to go towards a new sponsor. Right, we've got Matthew on the phone right now on the XS Manchester full-time Devils football social, 0345 111 7625, if you do want to get in touch today. Matthew, how are we beating Barcelona, mate?
I was proper confident against PSG, but I think this might be a step too far.
Okay.
I really wanted to talk about the squad when I phoned up as well, because I think the squad is actually terrible.
Terrible? I mean, we're just outside the top four in the quarterfinals of the Champions League. We didn't have a good manager for the start of the season, I don't know.
You know, it is, all the trauma that United fans have been through turned us into, like, romantics, and that we're holding on to people that we don't need. That's why Ander Herrera's one of them. Alexis Sanchez is another one.
Give him a chance, mate. Valencia, he's injured. Jeez Louise.
Who's injured?
Alexis Sanchez.
Oh, give him a chance. You asking me to give him a chance on $500,000 a week?
I mean, that's an exaggerated figure, but go on, Matthew, go on.
If he wants to take his wages down, then yeah, I might give him a chance, do you know what I mean? But he's actually messing up the whole squad here.
Okay, I know what you're saying, Matthew.
Then you've got like people like Matteo Darmian and Marcus Rojo. They need to go, definitely.
I definitely agree on that.
Nemanja Matic, he is non-existent when we're playing against teams that are coming for us. When we're playing against teams that are coming for us, Nemanja Matic is not there.
Game just passes him by.
That's why Pogba is literally standing right next to him just to shore him up, do you know what I mean? So when he gets the ball, he can't really go nowhere.
I know exactly what you're saying, Matthew. I completely agree. We have to go to a break real quick, but thank you very much for joining us on the Football Social. We will be back shortly to talk about something which I think has been blown slightly out of proportion, and that's Rojo and Romero giggling on the bench at the game against Wolves. Did you boys see this?
Yeah, I did see that.
We're going to get into it.
I've only heard about this today.
On the Football Social. XS Manchester. Yes, we are back. This is the XS Manchester Football Social full-time Devils takeover. My name is Gaz Drinkwater. You've got Andy Tate over there, and you've got Abdullah joining me too. Good to have you here this evening, lads.
Cheers, bud.
Cheers, man.
Let's talk about a topic which I think is being blown out of proportion because of social media and because of Twitter, like everything. And it's Rojo and Romero, who were both pictured at the end of the Wolves game, having a bit of a chuckle, having a good laugh. and generally looking like they're enjoying themselves a bit, having an in-joke between themselves. A lot of United fans said that they shouldn't be seen to be having a laugh at anything. They should just look depressed and downtrodden when Manchester United lose a game. But I don't know. I'm one of them thinking maybe they saw a ball boy fall over and he said it to him in Spanish. They've had a chuckle. It's not that important. What do you think, though, Abdullah?
I think I have a bit of a mixture of that because, like I said, you never know what they're laughing about, what they're talking about. So you can't really fully judge them. But at the same time, you want the players to be like fans at that moment. And we were absolutely fuming around that end of the game. Everyone was so angry about the whole situation with it. And when you see that, it is a little frustrating. So I do understand people's frustrations, but you just got to understand that you never know what they were talking about, and they weren't going to get on the pitch, and they've not really been in the team, so
maybe he was saying to Rojo, "You're not going to get your contract, so I'm going to get mine." Yeah. You know what I mean?
Well, there could be something in Rojo being told that he's not wanted by the club or something like that that would make them react like that on the bench. I mean, it's not nice to see, but I mean, I don't know, maybe slightly blown out.
It's the world we live in now, social media.
Exactly, and people so quick to judge, aren't they? But let's head over to the phones then, since this is the phone in, 0345 111 7625, if you want to call in. We've got Hansa who's called in. Hansa, good to have you on the show, mate.
Hello, are you right, guys?
Yeah, man, good to speak to you, pal. What is it you want to talk to us about tonight, mate?
Just a little topic that you had before the break about the Barcelona game.
Hansa, you're going to tell us how many we're going to thrash him by, aren't you? Come on.
No, I see it positively. Not thrashing, but I see it positively. I think Abdullah touched on Marcus Rashford getting at the back of the defence. We saw the draw they had over the weekend, midweek period. And to be honest, I think Valverde's side, it's good, but it's never going to be like the old Barcelona that we saw a few years ago that won the Champions League with Neymar, Suarez, and Messi, and even before that, to be honest. But
yeah, that's it, mate. Don't give any credit to Pep Guardiola. That's what we're all about on this show. Nice one.
Definitely not. But I definitely think that if Lukaku and Rashford start up front, it will cause them problems, and I would prefer to see Paul Pogba on the side, on the right hand side, where he might be matching up to someone the like of Jordi Alba rather than Sergio Roberto, who I think is more physically capable of handling Pogba.
Sam, step up for Pogba.
Yeah, what Hansa mentioned then as well about the strikers, Rashford and Lukaku potentially making a partnership. Hansa, what's made you say that? What's made you want to see those boys up front together?
I think just the kind of devastating pace of Rashford in behind, and even Lukaku, we see him, sometimes he makes runs down the channels, and sometimes he doesn't get the ball played to him, but he still makes those runs, and just spreading up, splitting the defenders, splitting the centre-backs, and making space for Rashford with his pace, I think we've been a little unfortunate
that they've not been fit all the time together. When you look at it, they were running all game against Paris away, and I was seeing them, the cameras wouldn't have caught it every single time, but they were honestly onto those defenders, and I love seeing that fight from them, and I'd love to see them play off each other, because they've not really had the chance to play up front together. I mean, against Southampton they did, Rom was brilliant, and if you look at the spaces that Rom was getting against Southampton for the goals, that's because Marcus is making those runs
off him. Was that the game where Lukaku came out afterwards and said how much he loved playing alongside Rashford?
They were praising each other post game. I think they were both chatting to him
Understand what Hansa said then. It on paper you imagine that it works. The strength and intelligence of Lukaku as well.
They've not really, like I said, they've not had that string of games. So hopefully it does happen. Yeah. We're not sure if Tony's completely fit as well. And hopefully Rom hits some form, because when he's hit for some form, people do, really...
Yeah, we need him.
They don't like praising him at all when he does well. And as soon as something goes wrong for Rom, everyone gets on his back. And we all do that. But to be fair, he just needs to sort of get that goal against Barca in that first game. That can maybe set his tone again. Because you look at that Palace game, he got a goal there. And then he goes on to score against Southampton, then scores at Paris. And it, sometimes it's just a goal that he needs. And a goal against Barcelona, maybe early on in the game, will fire him up and give him
Barca
that confidence.
Will concede, because like I say, they scored four, but they conceded four as well, didn't they?
Yeah, exactly.
So you can get at him.
Yep.
Hansa, thank you very much for your call, mate. We're going to have to let you go on the football social because we've got about 7 minutes left, so I want to go through as many callers as we possibly can, get as many opinions as possible on the show. AJ's here. AJ, what do you want to talk to us about tonight, mate?
Hi there, guys. Hello, mate. Just a few points there. Just firstly, how you mentioned just about Rojo and Romero there. Mm. I just think that probably just been blown a bit out of proportion. I mean, I saw when Phil Jones were coming on, I saw the way Rojo looked at him, and you know, if you look back at it, you can see, and obviously he's probably thinking, I've kind of got no chances, this guy's getting put on before me. but then at the same time, if you think against the PSG at the end when we scored, if you see, I watched it, and when you saw him celebrate, and he's all Rojo celebrating with the passion that he and they were all running off the bench.
Yeah,
so, you know, surely that means something, you know.
That means more than just giggling on the bench.
Exactly, but it shows that they've obviously got something for the club inside, aren't they, to be able to, you know, celebrate like that.
Of course, mate.
And secondly, as well, the Sanchez situation. I just think we've definitely got to let him go. It's just, you know, you could give him a chance, obviously, as you mentioned before, but the fact that he's on so much money, you know, if you get rid of him and a few other players, you almost, in terms of wage structure, you've almost got £1 million back. You know,
I'll keep him if he lowers his wages.
I don't think that would ever happen, though, would it? You'd sooner go to China.
No, if you want to play, lower your wages, show the fans. Look, I don't dispute he's been training hard, but he's just not getting the breaks. But yeah, the wages are a problem. But if he drops his demands,
exactly,
I'll keep him. Definitely.
And I'll be saying about Gareth Bale, you know, Gareth Bale's the same as you'd be the same situation. Sanchez, only there's no guarantee with him. He's always injured. He's pretty much the same. You're in that same predicament with Gareth Bale as you would be with Sanchez. So you're back to square one again. I mean, for me, I've had, you know, I actually live in Manchester. I work in Manchester. I'm actually a taxi driver in Manchester.
All right.
So I know, you know, I've supported Man United all my life, and I know how much of a big club Man United is, because weekly I pick up people that have come from, honestly, from America, from Malaysia, from China, that come to watch a game or go for a tour of Old Trafford. So it just shows how big a club it is, and how they say, how this sport is. That's what you've got to remember, that the biggest football club in the world. And when you see people like Ashley Young and Smalling and Jones, honestly, I can't explain. You know, if you saw Ashley Young against, obviously, as he did against Wolves, the two free kicks that he had, he didn't even get past the first man with his free kick. And you're thinking, what the hell is this guy doing at Man United? And when he's got the captain's armband on as well, he disrespects every other captain that we've had before him. The fact that he's wearing
That's a tough one, but
AJ, did you say you're a taxi driver now?
Yeah.
What radio station do you have on in your taxi?
I have a bit of everything.
What radio station do you have on in your taxi, AJ? Say XS Manchester.
XS Manchester, I guess.
Thank you very much, AJ, and thank you very much for joining us on the XS Manchester Football Social tonight. Full-time Devils takeover. Right, I reckon we've got time for a couple more callers, so let's get straight into them. Mohammed's here. Mohammed, what do you want to talk to us about tonight, mate? Welcome to the Football Social.
Hi, mate. How are you?
Yeah, good, man. Hi, good, man. What is it you want to get off your chest?
I just basically, we've had a lot of people this week after we've lost our third game in a few weeks, saying Ollie this, Ollie that, but you've got to give Ollie Gunnar Solskjaer the chance. I mean, it's not his
experience. Of course you have.
He's not. But obviously we get a lot of flip-flopping fans, but the one thing I have to say is the problem is when you break it down, the problem with Manchester United since Ferguson and David Gill left, got three problems. And number one, Woodward. Number two, Woodward. Number three, Woodward. The reason why I say that, we've just got to break it down. If you look at transfers, just the first summer he was in charge, he bid $27.5 million for Fellaini and was it Leighton Baines? That was an absolute joke. He doesn't know how to bid for players. What's it called? It's Sanchez, £500,000 a week. And the problem is with that is he's hardly playing now. He's been an absolute joke for us. The problem is, when I watched Man United the other day, I don't know what happened to Paul Pogba. I don't know what's happened to David De Gea. It looks like the head's gone.
Pogba's in Madrid.
Do you really think that, Andy?
Of course he is.
Do you think Pogba wants to leave United?
Maybe not this summer.
I think they've turned his head round. Yeah. It's definitely some sort of effect on him.
Something's going down. Maybe not this summer, but next summer, yeah.
Go on, Mohamed. What were you saying then? Sorry.
Pogba? Do you play in Pogba? He's a World Cup winning player, right? He wants to win league titles. He wants to win the Champions League. And having a person, Woodward, who's running your club, who doesn't have a clue, right? Do you actually blame him? Do you actually blame any player who doesn't want to come to Man United? And I'll tell you what's going to happen in the summer. Pogba's most likely going to leave, or he'll leave next season, but I've just got a horrible feeling, horrible, horrible feeling, that we're going to get dumped with Gareth Bale, and that's going to be a...
Don't want him. Honestly, it's always nice to end on a positive note.
Mohamed, we really appreciate your call. And you know what, mate? I wouldn't disagree with you either. I can imagine that happening this summer.
Yeah.
We're all there talking about these exciting, dynamic players we go out and want to buy, and then we end up with a 30-year-old injury-prone player we're paying too much for.
$200 million, I take the defender from Real Madrid,
Moran.
Cruz, was it? Yeah, a German lad.
Bit,
throw them two in as well. There's two players for Pogba. See you, Pog. It's just his ego as well. Where's this World Cup winner? Where is he?
Right. You know what? We talked about Pogba a lot on these football socials.
Brings it on himself.
We're trying to keep it
hopefully it gets
a criticism-free zone. Yeah. For the end of the show.
Sorry,
bit of
guys.
Positivity.
I'm sorry, mate.
It's all right, mate. Andy, we
winning the Champions League, guys.
Exactly.
Come on, let's end it on that one.
Look, we've got a minute to go in the show, so I want people's predictions for that Barcelona game. And if you don't think we're going to win, at least tell me that we're going to play well and we're going to be proud of the boys at the end of the night.
I can't call it, honestly. We could get our clocks cleaned. On the other hand, we could win 2-0.
That was clock, by the way.
Clocks
yes,
cleaned.
Yes, okay. We could
get taken to the cleaners, basically. It could get very messy.
Don't do that to me again, Andy. Right. Abdullah, what score do you reckon, mate?
I'll go on a positive one at home. The thing is, when you take it back to the new camp, no matter what score it is, mate, they can absolutely have a go at you there. So
yeah,
I'm going to go with a positive one, and I'll say we'll nick a 3-1 at home.
3-1?
You're confident.
Nick a 3-1.
I'd say
nick
that.
It. We'll be 2-1 up, and then last minute, we'll have a cheeky goal to take with us to the new camp.
What do you reckon, Andy?
And they'll beat us 2-1 at the new camp.
Shut up! Leave that behind!
That's what's happening.
If you keep a clean sheet, we've got a chance. I'd take a 2-0. If we keep a clean sheet, then, like you say, you got something to fight for in the new camp.
Do you want to know what I reckon? And I know this is massively unlikely, but I reckon there was going to be one goal throughout the entire tie. I think it's going to finish 0-0 the first leg, and I think we'll
2008.
We'll beat them 1-0 in the new camp.
I don't think so. With the defence and attack that Barcelona have, I don't think that's happening. And same with United.
What are you talking about? Phil Jones is going to have Messi in his pocket. It's been a pleasure, as always. This has been the XS Manchester Football Social full-time Devils takeover. Abdullah, thank you, mate.
Cheers, mate.
Andy Tate, always a pleasure.
Thanks, guys. You're welcome.
And we'll catch you next time. On the way next, it's the XS Manchester Evening Show. Stick around for it. Big, big tunes on the way. Kicking it off, Cortina's Not 19 Forever. 42's anthem.
Manchester United Football Social. Subscribe to the podcast now and never miss a show.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.